these people had so much motivation, and many of them were very successful with what they did. And what I realized is the people who had created something at the intersection of what they were really good at, but also what they were really passionate about, were really, really successful.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and chief goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to today's episode of Learning Unboxed. As always, I'm excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And joining us today is Ryan Pruitt, founder of Be All You. So Ryan, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Hi, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to learn more about Be All You, but let's set some context for our listeners as we get started. Be All You is an education company creating an exploratory platform for students who need to create unique projects or initiatives to enhance their college applications or build their resumes. This is so desperately needed. So this is so awesome. The programming is designed to get students to create entrepreneurial projects that are made up of their skills and their passions. Be All You focuses on students' self-discovery, helping students learn about themselves to identify their passions, values, strengths, and potential career paths. So, Ryan, seriously, we need this. Every kid who is in high school getting ready to go on to whatever the next thing, they need Be All You. So, where did the idea come from? What was your genesis?
Yeah, thank you for that introduction. I feel like you did a better job than me if I were to introduce my own company. So thank you for that. So where is the genesis for BLU? So it actually, the idea has had many iterations, has had many pivots, but the original idea started actually as a podcast. And during the pandemic, I started this as a podcast where, you know, I had a lot of free time on my hands during the pandemic. And I was really interested in having conversations with unique people who kind of built these types of, you know, unique entrepreneurial projects. So I was always a fan of like podcasts and their ability to just talk to a very wide range of people. And I wanted to start something that, you know, kind of gave me the platform to have these conversations in public. And, you know, I did like one season throughout the pandemic and I interviewed people like entrepreneurs, musicians, people who did like Twitch streaming, educators who had their own companies, a very wide range of people and professions and projects. And I really enjoyed just talking to people and, you know, seeing what makes them tick. And the podcast had some success. A lot of students in my area really liked certain episodes. And, you know, I got a lot of praise and feedback for it. And it made me think that that concept of, you know, learning about people's unique personal projects and, you know, why they started that, that should be taught in school because, you know, these people had so much motivation and many of them were very successful with what they did. And what I realized is the people who had created something at the intersection of what they were really good at, but also what they were really passionate about were really, really successful. And it got me kind of thinking that, you know, why aren't we positioning our students to have a life that they're, you know, maximizing their skills, their unique skills, and then maximizing their unique interests and passions. So it made me kind of go, you know, down this rabbit hole of, you know, figuring out how I can start an education company and start a course that does specifically that. But that didn't come until way later. So I did the podcast, you know, then I went back to campus, and then the actual programming didn't come until a little later. But yeah, that, the genesis of it was learning from other people and talking to them about their own like unique projects and kind of getting inspired by their work.
You know, it's really funny because I've been working in the education space for many, many years. And, you know, I'm not originally a classroom teacher. That's not how I got into the world of education either. I'm an anthropologist. And my work has always been sort of entrenched in the idea that if we understand the human journey and the human story, right, there's just so much power in all of that. And so in my early career and work as an archaeologist, you know, I'm excavating the things that human lives were leaving behind, right? And trying to understand the stories and what their journeys were. So it seemed to me, right, maybe not to anybody else, it was a natural iteration to go from, you know, doing that work, right, directly into sort of the classroom and teaching those same sets of skills around the idea that, hey, if we're really curious, deeply, deeply curious and willing to invest in the time to understand the story of the journey of another, imagine how fulfilling that could be for us as we then try to contemplate our own. And one of the things I find really, really intriguing about the educational system, especially the K-12 space, but honestly, even into post-secondary, you still see this, right, is this lack of understanding that, you know, we can, to your point, have skills and we can have passions. And if we really roll up our sleeves and dig in, our passions can in fact be our careers.
Yeah, definitely.
How amazing could that be for many people to be able to tap into something I love, hone my skills to be the best I could possibly be at it, and then ultimately find myself contributing to society through that mechanism. I mean, you actually embody that, right? You know, you tapped into all this. You said, oh my God, now I'm going to do this company. So
yeah. All
of that set up to say, hey, we need this and it's super awesome. But more importantly, let's get into, so how do you actually do this with the kids that participate in the program? And I guess maybe step back from that first and say, where do these kids come from? Like, how do you get these participants?
So that's a great question. So how we get the participants is through a variety of methods. So I do partner with schools. I partner with SAT programs. So now, like, you know, I'm tapping into that industry as well. I have students reaching out to me online. So like a very wide array of like delivery mechanisms. So I deliver this in person, virtually, you know, at an SAT center, at a school, kind of all the above.
Yeah.
And then how it's delivered, essentially we have two products or programs that we deliver. The first one is called the Launchpad Bootcamp, which is basically kind of all of the learnings that I've taken out through my journey and, you know, going to college and starting this. And it's distilled in two options. So we have one option that's a month long and then another option that's 2 months long. And essentially, it's just a bootcamp where we take a group of 15 students or less and we coach them through ideation. So coming up with some sort of unique career path, coming up with some sort of unique project, to execution, to actually starting that project and getting feedback out on the world, or, you know, starting that website or starting that YouTube channel, or, you know, creating that song or whatever they are trying to do. And then finally to showcasing or using that project to apply to another opportunity. So that last stage is all about, you know, maybe creating a LinkedIn, creating a resume, you know, highlighting the different skills and impact that you've were able to achieve with your project. Or, you know, using the project to apply to an award or a scholarship, or even just putting it on your college application. And then now we're starting to build mechanisms, specifically a platform where these students can actually track their project in the long term. So after they go through the program, essentially we're building, I don't know how to describe it, but essentially it's like a place for students to create and share and collaborate on not only their projects, but other students' projects as well. And that's coming soon. And that's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
And then the other delivery or the other product or program is just we do one-on-one coaching. So that's for students typically who have went through the boot camp and are like, you know, I really am excited to grow this project even more, but I need a little help. So we help those students grow their business or, you know, get funding for their nonprofit or, you know, grow the reach of their YouTube channel. And yeah, I would say those are two of the primary products and programs that we currently offer today.
And those are fabulous. And I can completely see why, you know, the kids who get jazzed about that are like, oh my gosh, I want to go all in, right? Because this is going to give me a path forward, right? And there's something to be said for that. And, you know, being able to engage with somebody like you that's very dynamic, it's probably really easy for you to relate to them and for them to relate for you. And we know that relationships make such a difference in students' lives. There's no question about that. But I am super curious to hear from you. You know, when students first, like day one, and you start to spend that time getting to know them and understanding sort of where their passions might lie and where what they're thinking about doing, do you see or have you experienced like a set of things that's holding kids back, right? That I'm curious about the things that you've seen with the different sorts of students that you've had the opportunity through this program to work through. What have you been hearing? I mean, if you had to like boil it down, because I know from some of the materials that kind of got sent over before this interview, right, that you believe strongly that school should be more about creating things and building skills and not memorizing facts for a test, right? So you know that kids bump up against a whole host of constraints all the time, every day, right? Some of them are from home. Some of them happen in school. Some of them are from the environment. And some of them are just lack of confidence in their own incredibly innate skills, right? So I'm super curious if you've seen some trends, right? Because I think that the experiences that you've had would be really informative to the traditional classroom teachers that a lot of the kids coming to you, right, they're doing that too, right? So they're doing this in addition to somehow, right? And so, you know, if those relationships were better in the traditional setting, they would come to you in a completely different space. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at.
I think that the general theme that I've seen is like, you know, students typically on a day-to-day are taking in so much information, right? They're taking in information from their teachers, their peers, and now they're taking information from TikTok. I think this program is unique because it's kind of the first time, or it may be the first time that a student is asked, what do you think? Or, you know, what about you? What's inside your brain? Or what are the things that make you unique? Or, you know, what are the things that you're passionate about and good at? And I think for some students, like, those questions are not often asked to students on a day-to-day basis. So I think it kind of creates an environment for students to think about it. Or it creates an environment for students to be like, oh, I already know these things and here's my way of expressing it. And I think the program is unique because it's kind of just like a free form. You know, there are no constraints on what you can create. And I think students are really attracted to that because there's no like rubric or boundaries that kind of limit them on what they can build. So I think that's like the biggest thing that I've seen is like the freedom to kind of create whatever, be as ambitious. I think that's what I've seen as like the biggest trend, I would say. And I think there's one last part to your question there that I missed.
Yeah, so the last part was, you sort of walked us back to it, so I appreciate that. But just about that last part of my question was that what you just described is growing students' confidence and their agency, their own internal agency to advocate for themselves and to say, here's what I love and here's what I want to do. And there's this passion project or this entrepreneurial idea, this business, this whatever, that's really, really meaningful to me. But in traditional school, I think that's the exception, not the norm, of the way many kids feel while they're engaged in a particular course, their chemistry class, their English class, whatever, right? That they don't feel that sort of magical connection to the adult in the room, the teacher who really should be functioning more as their mentor, as you're describing it, right? And so my question was around, do you see connections or lack of connections where we could transition what's happening in the day-to-day experience of K-12 to be more entrepreneurial in the way that we're approaching it? Does that then translate into students who would come to you being that much further down the road of identifying their passions, I guess, if you will? Because I would assume that you have to do a lot of groundwork stuff in the early week or so of the programming, right? And I'm just wondering about the educational shift or that transformative sort of work of thinking about K-12, right? And then how would that then work?
Yeah, that's a big topic. And let me
I'm sorry, Ryan.
No, it's okay. let me say as a disclaimer, I'm not an educator. But I am very interested in speaking to educators like you and working with educators like you and, you know, having conversations like this. So again, thank you for opening the door to this conversation. I think there definitely is a world where K-12 evolves in a way that we get students to think more about their future. We get students to think more about what they're interested in. And we get students to think about more about like the skills that they want to develop. I think there definitely is a world for all of that. I think the hard part is just transitioning what it is now to that new world of, you know, preparing students for the new future. And I've definitely thought a little bit about like, okay, like, is there a way that we could like, you know, train teachers or train educators to implement some sort of new like tool to get students to create like career-oriented projects? Or is there a way that, you know, projects and assignments can be more connected to the future or more connected to students' future? I definitely haven't come up with anything yet. It's definitely still in the works. But I think just the fact that we're having this conversation is, you know, maybe a step forward. I definitely would turn it back to you and say, like, you know, from your experience as an educator and kind of from that goal of like, you know, getting students prepared for a future where they can be, again, they can highlight what they're good at and highlight what they're passionate about. Like, how would you say, like, educators could maybe, you know, move the ball or move the, you know, way we educate kids more towards that future and that direction?
I think part of it is just there's probably two or three pieces that I always sort of come back to when I get asked this question. And the first one is investing in the time to know who your students are, right?
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the biggest disconnects. We're so busy. You know, there are a lot of incredible educators out there, and there's a lot of time and energy spent about, you know, blaming K-12 for, you know, X, Y, or Z. And that's not fair. You know, it's a system, right? And it's a system that in many ways is somewhat antiquated, but the participants inside will tell you that, right? So it's, that's not new. And I think that there's so much time, energy, and effort spent on all the things that are believed to be required, right? And that we've always done them this way. So this is the only way to meet said requirement, right? That we are not oftentimes as educators entrepreneurial because the system doesn't honor that element for us, which is one of the things I think is really interesting about the work that you're doing, right? Because you're really fostering that entrepreneurial mindset, even in people who may come to you and don't even know that it exists within them, right? It's never been tapped into. So I think the first one is taking the time, energy, and effort, right, to actually know who it is we're teaching. Who are these kids, right? Yeah. And then the second piece is, you know, that to transition the assignments to be relevant to then to those kids, right?
Yes.
You know, if I'm teaching a thing that the kid doesn't care a blip about, right? I'm just beating my head against a wall and the kids are like, the eyes are glazed over. They don't want to be there. They stop showing up. I mean, you know, all the sort of chronic things that we know about within that K-12 space. And then I think the third element to all of that is we can take any assignment and turn it into a problem that you can work and do projects to solve.
There we go. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's exactly what you're talking about, just kind of on a larger scale, right? But in my mind, those are the elements that we so desperately need. And I think it's really intriguing in the way that you do your work because you have managed to get the participants in your program to be super, super jazzed about the things they're doing, right? They're all in.
Yeah. And I think it's because they have an environment to be able to pursue the things that they've always wanted to pursue. And they kind of have someone like me that's like, yeah, go do it. Like, I'm not holding them back.
Yeah.
So they have that support. And I love those 3 points that you mentioned. I think that's what I was trying to say. I just didn't know how to find the words for it, especially the second and the third point of, you know, making it more project oriented, like making school more project oriented, and then, you know, maybe connecting the assignments and the projects to some sort of future that the students can, you know, see or, you know, maybe use that lesson that they learned from the project in the future. Then even like the first point is super important. I feel like the students that I work with, like some of them tell their teachers the projects that they have started. And I feel like that alone, like strengthens the relationship between the student and the teacher, because the teacher is then like, oh, wow, like, you know, I didn't know you had this TikTok that you do on the weekends. Like, that's super cool. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's a whole like new element that the teachers learn about the students that they interact with every day. So I think it's super powerful.
It is, because, you know, otherwise all I know is that I know the kids sitting in that desk in that class, right? And I know how they perform in the assignments, but I don't know a thing about them. Like you said, I don't know that they're, you know, a TikTok star on the weekend, right? With this huge following, right? I had no idea. So, I mean, I think that those things are really important and really powerful, obviously, when you sort of think about what's possible. Do you work with cohorts of teachers who want to learn the same thing, or is it limited to students?
So I am actually starting to. So I'm trying to start to work with cohorts of teachers.
Good. You should do that.
Yeah. Yes. I appreciate that.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
A cohort of teachers who go through the same thing that you're cohorting these kids through would be incredibly powerful, right?
Yeah. I really appreciate you saying that. Yeah. No, I appreciate, and I definitely am like slowly but surely like working my way up to be able to like actually do that to multiple teachers. I think there is a little bit, you know, to be transparent, I think there is a little bit of imposter syndrome that comes with, you know, educating teachers. You know, I don't have a education degree. I have never been an official teacher, but you know, I think the more and more I do this, the more confident I feel that I could do something like that maybe one day for teachers, and hopefully they would find it valuable.
Are you ready to join the movement to revolutionize education? Stay tuned for the full unveiling of my forthcoming book, Hacking School, 5 Strategies to Link Learning to Life, where we'll dive deeper into these topics and unlock key strategies to educational transformation. If you want to stay in the know, sign up for notifications at pastfoundation.org/hackingschool.
First and foremost, Ryan, everybody is a teacher. And I believe that wholeheartedly, right? Because yeah. I think that sometimes our best teachers on a personal level or mentors, right, are people that I didn't meet in a school building or in a classroom, right? Some of those are absolutely some of your best mentors and champions. But if you think about your own life, right, and the journey that you've gone through, you know, you might have a handful of folks that are teachers, but the other people that have taught you so much, right, they're coming from other aspects of your life. So first and foremost, we can all be teachers, and we all should be teachers, right? Because I think everybody has got something to contribute. So, but I do understand that, right? The imposter syndrome, it's a real thing. But I also think that as educators, certainly post-pandemic, right, are really looking to make some substantial shifts. Yeah. And recognize that we're not meeting kids where they are, and we're certainly not giving them what they need. And industry is now starting to pound on K-12 and say, you know, you're not giving us what we need either on the flip side, right? Yes. And so I think there's this convergence of thinking right now that's a perfect opportunity. And I guess the other thing that I would couch with that, based on some of the things that you've been sharing, is one of the other things that I advocate all the time is not just that we're going to solve problems, but if we step back and take a look at sort of the global problems more in line with, you know, the wicked problem. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase before, but wicked problems have no solution, but they're big, hairy, audacious global problems, right? That can have numerous possible solutions, right? And they're just sort of, they're regenerating, you know, a student can go and do a project to try to solve one of these big wicked problems. And then it opens some other doors of thinking and learning, right? And I think that in many ways, that's sort of the spirit that you are sending, you know, with the kids in your program. Can you tell me a little bit about, just to get back into some of the nuts and bolts of the way that you're doing your work, tell us some more about the Project Fest and the opportunity for these students and entrepreneurs to actually compete for startup dollars. Because I used to say, I said, what would happen if, you know, like Startup Weekend and Hackathon and, you know, innovative sort of out of school entrepreneurship sort of things or an American Idol all came together? What would that look like?
Yes, that's literally what the Project Fest is. Great description of it. So the Project Fest essentially is the culmination of all of the work that the students in BLU have done over the years. And it basically gives students an opportunity to showcase themselves and the project that they've created to a variety of people. So this year, there'll be a variety of professors, other students. You know, we're trying to invite corporations down, just a variety of community stakeholders to kind of listen to what the students have to say and give their feedback and support in any way. So essentially what it is, it's like a science fair type festival where you can present any sort of idea. And we do have some sort of like judging system where the judges kind of go around and rank presentation, effort, impact, you know, those sorts of things. And students, you are able to win funding. So last year, we were able to give out $5,000 to about 10 different projects. So that was really awesome to do that. This year, we're hoping to give out at least the same, maybe more. And we're hoping to have more students at our Project Fest this year. I think it's a great event. It definitely was like the thing that got me the most excited about, you know, doing this and continuing to do this and continuing to make, you know, specifically Project Fest a bigger thing. It's definitely something I want to do every year. And I think the students love it because it's like something that they can look forward to. it's something that like it pushes them to actually, you know, put a lot of effort into their project and, you know, make it nice and polish it and whatnot. And, you know, overall, it's just a great event. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, I would say for, you know, those in the audience listening, if you're ever in Philadelphia, definitely check out the Project Fest. We normally have it at UPenn.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'm curious though, so I did all this amazing work and I pitched this awesome project and I won $5,000 to get my project off the ground. Am I just like on my own at that point, or is somebody actually going to help me know how to use my $5,000 responsibly, sustainably, to actually like move myself down the road? What happens? Because oftentimes that's like the end. And then, you know, we wonder why these great ideas don't come to fruition. So how do you approach that piece of this?
So we're definitely still working on that. But I think the idea is that we are going to create, you know, mechanisms. You know, this is kind of where the online platform comes in, where it's easy to follow up with the student. It's easy to track the progress of the project. It's easy to track, you know, what the project needs or, you know, what the project is spending money on. So that's where the tech portion of it comes in, is that tracking piece and that collaboration piece. But yeah, that's exactly the idea, right? Like, you know, after the students win, it's not just giving them money and then shoving them out the door, but it's giving them money and connecting them to mentors, to innovative thinkers, to people that can actually help them to spend the money in a smart way to grow their product even more. So that's definitely like, you know, part of it is not only the money, but also the recognition and the mentorship and the guidance that comes with it as well.
And hopefully it launches them into a pretty amazing opportunity, whether that's going off to post-secondary, going to college, or just starting their own business or whatever it happens to be. I really love that. So I'm super curious, sort of as we sort of wrap this conversation, you're a pretty darn entrepreneurial guy, Ryan. And so I have no doubt you've got like things bubbling. I'm super curious, when you think about the program, what do you think is important as sort of like a next step? What is Be All You not doing now that you think that it could or should be doing?
That's a good question. I would say it's kind of the stuff that we touched on. And I would say what we're not doing now that we should be doing is stuff like, you know, working with more teachers, really building out this tech piece where we can create our program that anyone around the world can take it, like, you know, making it an international thing. And then just overall making it, you know, something that's, you know, more effective, you know, getting, you know, maybe better mentors. The vision for Be All You is really to have this, you know, project-based masterclass of a platform where students can log in, learn what they need to learn for a project, maybe enter a cohort where they can meet other students doing similar things. And then using this tech platform to create, to share, and collaborate with other students who are doing similar but different things as well. And I think like creating something like that would help not only increase the impact of the individual student, but would also increase the scale of which this can reach students with. That'd be the goal, is to focus on, you know, trying to educate more students, maybe trying to educate more teachers as well.
I love that a lot. Are you familiar with something called the Conrad Prize?
I'm not.
Okay. We're going to park that one. And all our guests get to hear me say, I'm going to make an introduction for you, because the Conrad Prize and Be All You need to be buddies. I think that would be pretty darn incredible. So yeah, you're doing really amazing things, Ryan, that kids desperately need. And I love the fact that you're sharing your knowledge and your enthusiasm with the community, right? That's only going to benefit everybody. So if you don't hear it often enough, you know, bravo for all the hard work that you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your day to chat with us. We really, really appreciate it. We'll have links in the show notes. And I really would encourage our listeners to, if you're interested in what you've heard today, reach out to Ryan. It sounds like maybe there's a great opportunity for some collaboration in bringing, you know, Be All You into your own community. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
Good. Good. Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin, and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.